Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
It's good to be in his house this morning. We're going to wrap up our Serving Together series. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how if you want to be a part of growing strong families, that one of the best ways to help you complete that goal and for that goal to come true is through serving together. We've talked about how God made us to be a part of a team. And Rick Warren, the pastor out at Saddleback Church in California, man, that guy has shared just so many rich words. He's ministered to me. He's taught me so much. And he really shared some things about being on a team together and serving together and growing strong families together. I want to share some more of his ideas with you about serving together and being a part of that team. He talks about how we're just better together. We are. We are better together. Would you say we're better together with me on three? One, two, three. We're better together. We are. We can do more together than we can by ourselves. And God designed us that way. He didn't design us to fly solo our whole life with no relationships and intertwined in our lives. But he wants us to be a part of a group. He wants us to be a part of a family. He wants us. He designed us to be a part of a team. Man, we've already talked about it this morning in other places, but last week, Serve Together Sunday. We're not going to have any Serve Solo Sundays. We're going to have Serve Together Sundays because he wants us to be a part of a team. And just think about how much we did together last week in his name. Man, 200,000 pounds of food, 1,000 boxes, 48,000 meals, 19 different countries. Are you kidding me? We could never do that on our own, but we could do it how? Together. We get more done together. We're better together. And man, if we're going to be strong in our families and strong in our faith, then we've got to be developing a strong team who serves together. And that team may just be the people who live under your roof. And man, we want to talk more about that today. If we look at that word team, and we used it as an acronym, T-E-A-M, to help us understand four different components that can help us as we grow and grow strong together. We said a few weeks ago that any healthy team, any strong team is going to have to establish first trust. So the T in team stands for trust. Trust is something that has to be earned. It's got to be established. It's got to be cultivated. Trust takes time. You might want to jot that down. Trust takes time. Man, it takes a long time to establish trust, but man, maybe you've experienced this. I know I have. You can lose trust in an instant. You can lose trust by hitting send. You can lose trust by what you post. You can lose trust by what you say that you didn't mean to say. You just said it, and then bam! Trust is gone in an instant. Trust takes time. Trust can be rebuilt, but usually not in the same amount of time that it took you to destroy it. Trust takes time. And if you want to grow a strong family and you want to have a strong team who's serving together, we've got to learn how to trust one another. Second key to serving as a part of a team is the E word. E stands for empathy. T stands for trust. E stands for empathy. That's the E in team. It takes empathy. I'm going to give you several different scripture references today that are going to be from some different versions of scripture, some different translations of scripture. So instead of opening your Bible to one specific text, we're going to get into that next week. I'm coming back to Acts next week. Man, I'm so loaded up and ready to get into Acts with you again. We're going to pick up at Acts 21 next week. I can't even hardly wait. So next week we'll crack into Acts and be there for a while. But this morning I'm going to kind of scattershoot a little bit and be all over the place. So jot these different references down. This will be a great place for you to spend some time, invest some time in your personal quiet moments alone with the Lord this week. This first one, talking about empathy, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, look what it says. Finally, all of you must live in harmony. Be sympathetic. So you can't have that first without the second there. You're never going to live in harmony with your wife or with your husband or your friends or anybody else if you don't have some awareness that's leading to empathy, that leads toward empathy. You can't have harmony without empathy, and you can't have a team, a true team, a strong team, without really being aware of what's going on in other people's lives. I love our team here at Arapahoe Road. Our staff is, man, we're engaged in each other's lives. We'll come in and just sit and pray with one another, listen about what's going on, and walk through life together. Man, we've got a great team here. Your staff works hard, and they are engaged in God's work, and they are engaged in each other's lives. And I just want you to know how proud I am of them. I love them dearly. I love their families, and I love what God's doing in the team here. It's more than just working on a project together. You got to be aware of each other. There's an awareness that you need to have if empathy is going to be a part of your strong team. That's why people who sometimes just work together in an office, they may be working, but they may not really be a team because they're in this same cubicle area, but they're not really aware of what's going on outside of just this one project. And maybe you need to be an empathy bringer to your team, to strengthen that team, and to begin to be aware. You go, man, how in the world I do it? I'll get to it in just a second. But you got to be aware of each other. You have to have some empathy. Empathy is so important because it meets two of your deepest needs, whether you realize it or not. Think about this with me. First, you have a fundamental need to be understood. You have a fundamental need to be understood. Everybody in life wants to have at least one other person who's breathing air on this planet who gets you, who understands you, who knows you. You just go, man, that person gets me. They know me. They understand me. They know what I'm thinking. You have a need. I have a need to be understood. Everybody does. No exceptions. Second need that you have is this. You have a deep need to have your feelings validated, even if they're wrong. You have a need to have somebody in your life who's saying, you're not weird, you're not a kook, you're okay. It's okay to feel that way. That's normal. It's not okay to stay feeling that way. But right here in this part where your life is crashing together, that's normal to want to go stick a fork down that person's throat. That's not going to be normal after you stop and count to 10. That turns into assault. And then we've got some other issues. But it's normal to feel how you feel. Now let's move past where you feel right now to where God wants us to feel. Everybody needs to feel understood. Everybody needs to have their feelings validated by somebody else. And that's what empathy does. It meets those two deep needs. And if you are going to build a team of friends, or you're going to build a life group, or anything else that's going to help you toward growing strong families, you've got to build empathy into that structure. How do you do that? How do you become an empathetic person? Let me share three ways toward empathy. First thing you got to do if you want some empathy, you got to slow down. You got to slow down. Speed destroys empathy. Speed destroys empathy. You go, what do you mean? Let me illustrate. One of the most beautiful drives I've ever had the privilege of making and taking in my life is out in California down the Pacific Coast Highway. Raise your hand if you've ever driven or been by the PCH. Man, it is incredible. It is so beautiful. Love it down there. Now, if I were to just get on a jet plane and fly to California and then just take a left when I get to the ocean and go down to San Diego, I mean, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty neat. I'd get to see some stuff and that'd be all right. But think about it. If I slowed down a little bit and got on a train, I'd see more detail than if I was in a plane, yes? That's not a trick question. Sure. Absolutely. Why? Because I'd be going slower than if I was in the plane. I'd see more detail. Now, if I wanted to go even slower and get in a car and drive down the PCH to San Diego, man, I'd see even more detail than I would if I was in the train, and even more than I would if I was in the plane. But if I really wanted to get some detail, man, I could just walk it. Some of you are just going, oh, that would be awesome. Especially if you had unlimited funds and, you know, all that good stuff. But man, you could take your time. You could really check out what's going on. I'm sure those people in those mansions on Malibu wouldn't mind if you just crashed into their place for the night. Speed destroys empathy. Why? Because speed causes you to miss the details. Speed, when it comes to relationships, causes you to skim and never go deep. Relational skimming can kill a team. See, when you're moving fast in your life, you miss the details. And the faster I move, the more details I'm going to miss. Because our culture teaches us to move fast. All of us end up relational skimming, don't we? Yeah, even in our own families. That means you're just hitting the high points, but you're missing all kind of awareness stuff. You're missing details that the people that you care about the most, or that we say we do, never have an opportunity to connect because you're skimming, because you're going so fast. Put the mirror up in front of me and I've got an audience of one today. I'm preaching to myself, folks. You can't grow strong families if you're relationally skimming with them. You and I have to slow down. We've got to become a bit empathetic regarding the details of their life. And when you serve together, it changes your pace. That's why families who serve together grow strong together, because they have an opportunity to be empathetic as they slow down, and no longer in those moments are they relationally skimming. They're able to get the details. How many of you are going, if we had two or three or four lines, we could go so much faster? I know. You had to slow down with your little box and do what? Talk. Some of you talked to some other people you haven't talked with all week. You've skimmed them, but you haven't talked to them. Some new friends. The fear is that I don't know what to say. We've got the strongest right thumbs in America. And we've become masters at relational skimming. We got to slow down. Your friends, your family, your spouse, your parents, your kids, the people you work with, the people in your life group. If you're moving too fast, you can't see the details. So the first step to empathy is to slow down. James 1:19 says that we are to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slowing down is an empathetic strategy. And when I come home, let me just tell you where I live. When I come home We got about an 8-mile drive home. It takes me about 20 minutes to get home. It's great decompression time. And if I've just been loaded up with whatever responsibilities I've had all day, and I come back around on the backside, and I'm kind of winding through, and here we go, and I come into my little subdivision, and I get to this one spot, and the community pool is right here, and I take a right here, and then I'm going to take the second left, and then the second house on the right is our place. When I get to the pool, I try to mentally flip a switch and just dump the pastoral load right there. It will be there tomorrow. Let me just tell you my favorite text to get. I know it's your day off, but sometimes I'm in a place where I can respond right then, and that's fine. And I love to do that. Other times I need to put this down, or else I'm going to pastorally skim you. I love you, but I love my family more, and I love God most, and sometimes I need to put a practice with what I'm preaching so I can pastor you more effectively. And Mom and Dad, you're the pastors in your home. You do the same. Do the same. Everybody needs a day off. Everybody needs a day off. Brings me to the next way to be empathetic. Not only do you need to slow down, number two, you need to ask questions. You need to ask questions. That's how you show empathy to your children. That's how you show empathy to anybody else. Ask them questions. Proverbs 20, verse 5, write that down. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says this: the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Circle in your mind, draws them out. It's a great phrase. You got to draw stuff out of people. The first thing I do after I kiss Allison when I walk in the door is I start asking questions. How was your day? You know what I get every time? Fine. Because their little hearts are deep. And I've got to draw them out by asking more questions. Why was it fine? What'd you do? How was lunch? Oh, it was great, Dad. Good. Good answer. I made the lunch. See, most people don't just blurt out their emotions. Some people do. Not very many. Most people hold their emotions pretty close to their vest, and so they don't automatically just share how they're doing. So you got to ask them. I'm fine. Standard answer. They're not really telling you how they feel. They're just giving you a polite response or a deflection. Some don't know if you mean it or not. How you doing can really be a serious question, or it could just be nothing. But if you say, how you doing, and then they say, I'm fine, here's how you draw it out. You got to slow down a little bit and ask the question again. No, how are you? I mean, seriously, how are you really doing? Linger there for a minute. Be okay with a bit of awkward silence. Sometimes people just need a moment. And if you're willing to wait in some silence and linger with them, you may be on your way to drawing out of that person what's really going on and meeting those deep needs that we talked about earlier of having somebody understand you and validating your feelings. Third thing when it comes to empathy is showing some emotions. That's how you empathize with people. Romans 12, 15. Man, one of my favorite verses. Romans 12, 15. So, so rich. Paul's writing and he says this: rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. What's Paul talking about there? He's talking about showing emotions. See, empathy is more than just saying, I hurt with you. Empathy, I hurt for you. Empathy is saying, I hurt with you. As we've talked about before, it's pulling up a seat next to somebody's mourning bench and just saying, I'm with you in this. I care. care about you. I care about you. DTS students, if God's calling you to preach, God's calling everybody to preach. That's real sexy and fun. Nobody's spending the time doing pastoral care. And they're not ever going to remember what you said. They're just going to remember if you were there. That's why nobody's listening to my sermons online, because you don't care. I'm just teasing. Oh, was he hit? Oh, relax. We're in church. Some of you are going, that doesn't fit. Relaxing in church. Loosen your tie. Take a deep breath. You're among friends. You're among friends. You know, if we're not ever going to remember what you said, why do you preach so long? Got an amen from Bill Sword back there. That's right. I'm with you, brother. How are you going to be empathetic? You got to stay filled up with God. You got to stay filled up. Going, wait, can God leave me? God's never going to leave you or forsake you. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm saying the Spirit of God needs to oxygenate your soul regularly. That's why Paul wrote, keep in step with the Spirit. You go, how do you do that? Well, I do what we did earlier today. Just, I don't wait till Sunday every day to do it. Like that, Always More. Some of you just need to go Google that, Always More. Who sings that song, Dan?
Benji Cowart.
Benji Cowart's going to get some hits this week. And you need to just download Always More, and you need to invest some quiet moments alone with God before you go racing out and start relationally skimming. And you just need to allow God's Spirit to fill you through that avenue of worship expression. You need to invest some quiet moments alone with God, reading His Word and in prayer. For me, I've told you this before, what I'm reading right now devotionally day after day is N.T. Wright's New Testament commentary. It's called For Everyone. And you don't have to go to seminary to know what he said, what he's meaning. You know how I know that? Because the title is For, that means you. Phil Porter and I are just reading one section a day. This morning, after I finished prepping for my sermon, I just went out back porch with Grizz and had a cup of coffee, and I just read through the next section of where I was, happened to be in Acts 21. I'm like, oh, I know what this is about. Preaching on it. Quiet moments alone with God. Walking daily with Him. Worshiping Him daily. If you wait till Sunday to worship Him, you're always going to be feeling low. Today, that's how He created you, for relationship. You can't relationally skim with God and ever think you're going to be filled up. Never going to work. You got to invest some quiet moments alone with God. It's the only way. It's the only way. Let me talk about the third key to being a team. We need to move on. T-E-A. A is for accommodation. Accommodation. Building a great team is going to take trust. You got to build trust between each other. To have a team in your family or your life group takes trust. E, it takes empathy. And it takes A, accommodation. What in the world does accommodation mean? Well, when you make accommodation for somebody, it means you give them some room, or you get them a room, or you create some space for them. That means you got to accommodate people in lots of different ways on your team, in your life group, in your family. You got to make some accommodations if you're going to have a team. Why? Because God made us all different. He made us all different. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22. It's on the screen. He says, pursue faith, love, and peace together with those who worship the Lord with a pure heart. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means be a faithful person who loves people and who tries to get along with other people. That's what that verse means. Think about this question for a second. Would the people closest to you say that you're easy to get along with? Now, why would I ask that question? Because that question is about accommodation. That's why I asked that question. Look what Romans 12:18 says. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Look at that, man. I mean, first it says you got to do your part. I like that. Because obviously you have a part and everybody else has a part too, right? It's not all on you. There's some others involved in this thing. And if they don't do their part, it ain't going to happen no matter how much you do your part. That's kind of freeing. Aren't you glad God put that in there? That means it doesn't all depend on us. No matter how much you try to get along with them, it's their hang up. No matter how nice you are, it's their hang up. And God says you're to do accommodation as much as it depends on you. That means you may need to make the first step towards forgiveness. And if they give you the Heisman, dude, that's on you, Jack. That's on you. I love you, but I'm not going to waste my time trying to earn your approval back for something that we both had a problem here. I love you, but I got other things to do than to live my life with regrets. There's a number of different ways that we can accommodate each other. One of the ways is this, to accommodate each other's needs. The Bible speaks about accommodating each other's needs in places like Romans 15:2. Look at this on the screen. I love how the Message puts it. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? What a great question. How can I help? It's amazing. I can't meet all the needs by myself, even my own. God didn't create me that way. He wants us to meet each other's needs. That's one of the ways that we accommodate one another. There is a great question in that verse. It's an accommodating question. How can I help? Would you just say that with me? How can I help? I dare you to use that question this week. Maybe with somebody you've never used it with before. You may just blow them away by asking, how can I help? How can I help you? Just watch what God may desire to do through you being empathetic and accommodating and asking a very simple, radically biblical question. How can I help? How can I help? So we accommodate each other's needs. Also, number two, we accommodate each other's ideas. We accommodate each other's ideas. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18:15 about accommodating ideas. The intelligent man or the intelligent woman is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. See, this is going to stretch some people right here. And you're like, man, it's my way or the highway, buddy. I've lived this life long enough. I'm too tired to listen to somebody else. You got some more of the sanctification process to work through then. A lot of times you'll be in a group or somebody will come up with a new idea. Sometimes, myself included, the first thought when you hear that new idea is, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. Now, there's a couple of possibilities here. One possibility is it's just a new idea. It's a new way of looking at, and it might even change your life. The other possibility may just be, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. And it may be. I mean, that new idea may just turn everything upside down and around. So you and I have got to begin to accommodate the fact that we all have different ideas, and we may need to look at things differently because we're able to see life in a new way, a better way, a different way, a more complete way. One of the reasons why I love the shared leadership model of governance here at Arapahoe Road is because our elders bring multiple ideas and perspectives to the table when it comes to discerning the leadership of God's Spirit. If you're resting it all on me, you need to go to another church. Because that's not healthy. It's not wise, and it's not biblical. Why do I say that? Because one of those good old Baptist distinctives is called the priesthood of the believer. That means the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you if you put your faith, hope, and trust in Him. And He's made us different, and He's made us in such a way that the priesthood of the different people are looking at things from different angles, and you'd be a fool if you think you can do it all on your own. If you don't have anybody else speaking in to the plans of your life, you're a fool. God calls you that in the book of Proverbs. Read it. But shared leadership, man. Start accommodating different ideas. That's healthy. You're on the road to health. You're on the road to God's best for your life. So we accommodate needs and ideas. Third thing is we accommodate each other's personalities. I saw some elbows. We all got different personalities, right? Bible says in Romans 12, 6, God in His kindness gave us different gifts. We've got different gifts. We've got different abilities. We've got different talents. We've got different personalities. You can see those different personalities in any type of group, whether it's a work group, a life group, a group at church, or a group at school, the family living under your own roof. There's lots of different personalities. We just think differently. And God made us incredibly different. Why? Why did He do that? Because He wants to use our difference to make a difference. He wants to use our differences to make a difference in this world. In fact, it's only through our differences that we can really make a big impact and make a big difference in our world. I can't change the world by myself. You can't change the world by yourself. But God has designed us so that together we can change the world for His glory and for our benefit. That's why He gives us differences. It really, really is. That's why we got to learn to appreciate and accommodate and enjoy those differences in our personalities, in our different gifts, in our different abilities. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you have been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. He made us different so we could serve together. Now, there's a fourth way that we can accommodate, and we've got to accommodate each other's faults, and we've all got them. How do I know that? Because the Bible says we do. And there's just plenty of evidence that backs it up. Just look at my own life. Plenty of faults. Ephesians 4:2, Paul's writing, he says, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. That doesn't take long. You think you walk into a new group, you're there for about 15 minutes, you're like, wow, this is great. These people are awesome. They're perfect. Give them 15 more minutes. Ooh, I don't like what I see under that rock. Everybody's got squiggly things under the rock, okay? You can hang in there. You really got one of three choices when you figure out that nobody's perfect. The moment you figure out in your group that there's faults, you can fake it and pretend like everybody's perfect and everybody's fine around you, and there's just a lot of stress in that. There's a lot of stress living like this. Oh boy. Let's go on grin and bear it. That's one way. Second thing, you can just leave it. I'm leaving the group. I'm going to go find the perfect group. Give yourself 15 minutes when you get to that next group. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find squiggly things under their rocks too. Third thing you can do is just accept it. Do you know the relief that there is in just saying none of us are perfect? Can we accept that and accept the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that He gives us, that we then can give some space and grace and peace to others who also aren't perfect? It's accommodation, man. It's accommodation. Last thing, and we'll get out of here. I told you I'd give you the last three EAM of teams. So T is trust, E is empathy, A is accommodate, M, you gotta have a mission. You got to have a mission. What makes a great team is the mission of the team. To have a team, you got to have a cause. You got to have a purpose. You have to have a mission. You can have trust, you can have empathy, and you can have accommodation of each other's needs and differences and ideas and personality. But if you don't have mission, you've just got a social club. And who wants to spend time doing that? I don't want to do that. I want to be a part of a mission. Philippians 2:2, Paul says this, be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Man, that's purpose-driven. That's Rick Warren's bread and butter right there. Purpose. One of the purposes that we want to be about here at Arapahoe Road is growing what? Strong families. And we believe that one of the ways to help grow strong families is to be about serving how? Together. Mission. We're learning to be a church family, and we're learning what it means to be in community and on mission. What does that mean? That means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. And so much of learning to be made into a disciple is learning to serve together. Notice from that verse in Philippians 2:2, it says maintaining. Underline that word in your mind. Love is something that you have to maintain. It doesn't just stay there. You got to put some energy into it. And here's the question. How are you going to maintain God's purposes in your life over the long haul? How are you going to do that? How are you going to maintain what God's called you to be and do over the long haul of your life? How are you going to maintain what we've been talking about in this series about serving together? That there's only one way, but it's pretty simple. Hebrews 10:25, you might want to memorize this one. Says this, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. It's talking about the body of Christ coming back together and worshiping on a regular basis at a set time and a set place. Now you need to be worshiping as families throughout the week, but you need to be meeting together in community with other followers of Jesus and encouraging one another. Don't stop doing that. Keep on meeting together. Stay with your group. In your group, you will continue to learn together. You will continue to fellowship together and to worship together and reach out together and to serve together. We need each other. We're better together. If you are not connected to a life group, you're missing out on what God has planned for you. Many of you are in a life group. They meet before our worship time at 8:15. There's a lot of groups that meet right after that will meet in just a moment. As soon as I finish up talking about what you're never going to remember anyway. If I can help you get connected to a life group, you come see me in the Home Life Center. Let me wrap up by saying this. One of the places that I want to visit before I die is Redwood Forest out in California. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Have you seen the tree that was cut out and you can drive a car through it? I want to drive a car through. I want to at least walk through it or look at it like this. 400, 500 feet tall. Largest living organisms on planet Earth. Massive. Massive. Look at that. Anybody see any solo trees there? I see a lot of trees standing how? You know what's really interesting if you study about redwood trees? I would think that their root system would go all the way to the core. They don't. One of the most shallow root system trees God ever created. That's why you never see a redwood standing solo. You always see redwoods growing in groves because their root system is dependent on being intertwined with one another. And men and women, you will go through storms in your life, and you will go through fires in your marriage, and you will go through winds that will blow everything away. And if you're standing so low, you will be blown away too. We're better together. God made you that way. And if you're going to grow a strong family, you got to build a team that learns how to trust, be empathetic, accommodates, and has a mission. And you need to be connected to a healthy church that is in community and on mission.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.